We're going to learn about, we're going to start learning Siman Kuf Pei Ches. So Siman Kuf Pei Ches really has three topics in it, the first of which is probably the most nogel lemaisa, especially if you're going to be a rabbi, meaning especially if you're going to be paskening shailas, and that is the issue of maros damim, of the actual colors of dam that are tamei and that are tahar, meaning when you look at a mara, you need to know what you're looking at. So si'if aleph is maros damim. Kuf peches si'if aleph are the colors of dam. Sif Beis is going to be the second topic. That's going to be about Ne'amanus Ha'isha, and Sif Gimel is going to be about Ria Bishvoferes and Neim Psichsakevshal Psichsakever Blodam. Also relevant Sif Dalit Hey, a little less relevant Dam Yavesh. Okay, but the relevant sugya to do, at least when it comes to Maros Damim, and it's kedai to at least read through it quickly, is the sugya in Nida Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, starting from the Mishnah. That Chamisha Damim Tmeim Bi'isha, and good, just read it through till the end of the parak. You could skip a little section on Chaf Amud Beis where it says that Yalta Esa Dama, about the third line in the wide lines on Chaf Amud Beis until Rebbe Ra'adam, about eight lines later, and that's relevant to something we're going to do also, but not right now. So essentially, that's the sugya. You got to read through like a couple of blot of Gemara just to get a basic sense of the sugya, and really to understand any of the rayas. Meaning, you can learn the halacha without learning the Gemaras, but you're not going to be able to understand any of the rayas that post can bring on some of the very relevant issues, particularly the issue that we're going to get to about looking at a mara more than once. Meaning, you look at a mara, a woman does a bedika, and right away your husband runs to your house to bring the mara, and it's wet, it's still moist, and you look at it, and then you put it in the drawer, you look at it the next day, it looks different. Right, so that sugya, and to understand what the halacha is in such a case, whether it turned better or worse, is very important to see the Gemara for that, but even just for the basics, for just to get a sense of what it used to mean to look at Maros in the times of the Mishnah and what it means nowadays and how that changed, you need to see the Gemara a little bit. So I would strongly recommend going through those Gemaras. Today we're only going to focus on Maros of Damim. So just a very, very quick background of the Gemara. The Gemara in Daf Chaf Amud Beis, first of all, talks about the responsibility of paskening these shailas, and the Gemara tells us that Amar Rabbi Lazar anvasnusad Rabbi Chanina garmeli dechazay dama. Rabbi Lazar said, I didn't want to pasken maros of damim. Sometimes a rabbi will get a phone call and someone will say, do you pasken nida shailas? So the assumption is that not every rabbi has to pasken nida shailas. And Rabbi Lazar says, I wasn't going to be one of those guys. I was not going to pasken maros of damim, but it was the anivus of Rabbi Chanina that caused me to paskin nida shailas. Why? Umar Rabbi Chanina da anvasan hu machis nafshe l'safek v'chazi. So Rabbi Chanina, who's such an anav, and nevertheless he was still willing to paskin. So me, who is not such an anav, ana lo echzi. What? I'm not going to take a look at nida shailas. I'm not such an anav like Rabbi Chanina is. So says Rabbi Lazar, that's why I'm going to paskin as well. It's a fascinating Gemara. Ben Yoyada discusses, like, anivus, of all the qualities to describe why one would refrain from paskening nida shailas. What is it about anivus? And what you see is that the Gemara uses the term anivus when it describes reticence to issue a strong psak, to issue a psak with b'taras vaday. Most famously, the sugya Masechas Gittin that anvasnusad Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas caused the Chorban Abayas. What was the anivus? It was reticence to issue a strong psak. So his reticence, even though generally he was reticent and he was not someone who was willing to jump into psak halacha, but he felt it was nachrayus and he did it. So I'm less reticent. I'm more confident in my psak. I have less whether it's more confidence, less Yerushalayim. There are different reasons why people sometimes express more confidence. Sometimes it's a greater level of knowledge. Sometimes just a lesser level of Yerushalayim. But I'm for sure responsible to paskin such shailas. So okay, so there is an achrayus that people have if you're capable to deal with these shailas kedei l'tahirish l'bayla, in order to make sure that that a couple should be able to live together normally like man and wife. Before we even get into any of the colors, one issue that comes up in this siman, which is an issue that probably, at the very least, you're all probably going to be, whether you're all going to be Rabbanim or not Rabbanim, many of you will probably be chassan teachers at some point or another, meaning there will be someone who needs someone to teach them, and hopefully by the end of this year you should be able to do that pretty well. You'll get someone's notes or an outline or something, but like you'll be familiar enough after spending a year learning it to be able to give this over. But one of the practical tips that a chassan and a kallah need to be taught is that very often they try to judge the mara on their own based on how much is on the bedikah cloth. Meaning sometimes they'll look at a bedikah cloth and they'll see that it's just so filthy. There's just so much on it. And that they'll naturally assume, oh, that's horrible. It's so much. What we're going to be learning about is colors. Because the amount doesn't really make a difference. It's the color of that amount. I mean, you could have a very filthy bedikah cloth that has no red in it whatsoever and has no maratame in it whatsoever, and it's perfectly fine. On the flip side, you could have a bedikah cloth that's almost perfectly clean, but it has just one drop of red on it, and it's a tipastam kechardol of red, and that's metame, and that's the end of the story. So the tour in Simkov Peches over here, and the Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchos Yisuri Biyah both emphasize that the thickness of the discharge is irrelevant, whether it's just a little drop that's on the cloth, or whether it's like this thick discharge, that is totally irrelevant to the halacha. Torah writes, "Afilu im yeshpo smichus dam vu av harbe." Even if it's very, very thick, it's the color that matters, not the discharge. Now, why does the Torah have to make a point of this? I would have thought he has to make a point of this because intuitively people don't think that way. Intuitively, people think, and they don't even ask a shayla sometimes. If there's a very dirty bedikah cloth, a woman very often will say, she'll just throw it out. She's not going to ask a shayla, it must be bad. So it's important to know that that's not necessarily the case, even if it's of harbe, even if it is very thick discharge. But the other reason why the Torah has to emphasize this, the Beis Yosef points out, is because the Trumas Hadeshen seems to suggest otherwise. The Trumas Hadeshen, quoted in the Beis Yosef over here, seems to suggest that thickness might matter in a case where a woman had a hargasha. If a woman had a hargasha and even saw a white discharge, and white for sure is tahar, right? That there's no doubt about. There are certain colors that are machlokas. White is not a machlokas. But if she had a hargasha and saw a very white discharge, says the Trumas Hadeshen, if it was very thick, maybe you have to be choshesh, that somewhere in there is a tipas dam. It's just because it's so thick that it's beneath a layer or two, and you're missing that tipas dam, and the combination of the hargasha and a thick discharge, which might be hiding something, is enough to be metame. That's what Trumas Hadeshen says, that maybe that we would have to be choshish for a tipas dam, but if it was just a color and it wasn't thick, then we can assume that it was tahar, discharge that came from the makar at the time of the hargasha, and that she is tahora. Trumas Hadeshen mechadesh that normally a hargasha alone, without finding anything, if you find nothing, that would be metame, because hargasha d'oraisahi, and there's nothing else to be told it on, which is very fascinating. I mean, Trumas Hadeshen assumes that a woman has hargasha and sees nothing, doesn't find any discharge, tame. She has hargasha and sees a white discharge, tahar. Right? Because now she knows why that hargasha was there. It was because of this, and this is tahar. But a hargasha with a thick white discharge, tame. Because that thick white discharge might be hiding something, that's tame. So the Beis Yosef just points out that's probably why the Torah is emphasizing that we don't care how thick it is. Because the Trumas Hadeshen did care how thick it is. It's interesting, in the Pischei Tshuva and Sivkat Nei, he says that some are makel even if you actually found a tipas dam in the middle of a maratar. A woman had a hargasha, and then she looked and she saw a thick white discharge with a drop of blood in it. So he discusses, Pischei Tshuva discusses, maybe you can assume that the hargasha was resulted in the white discharge, and that tipas dam is just a kesem that had nothing to do with your hargasha. That's a kula, and the other, that's going to the other extreme of what the Truma Sedeshin what the Truma Sedeshin says. We'd probably not assume like either of those extremes, but more down the middle. That if whatever color you see is not a problem, so it's not a problem. But if whatever color you see is a problem, then it is a problem. We're not going to start making tiras about, oh, you didn't see any problematic color, but it's thick, and therefore maybe it is problematic. Or, no, you saw a lot of a non-problematic color and one little drop of a problematic color, so maybe it's not. No, if there's any drop of problem, you have a problem. If there's zero drops of problem that you can see, then you don't have a problem. That's what we assume. La halacha. The Beis Yosef comments on this Truma Sedeshin that nearly shechumros yaseros hein velesta chashlehu. Truma Sedeshin is giving us these chumros yaseros. We're not choshesh for these chumros yaseros. In dark emotion, O space, he agrees with the Beis Yosef that it's unusual to be machmir on the basis of hargasha alone, unless it was accompanied by a kesem or dam b'mei raglayim. Just going on that other comment of the Truma Sedeshin, that a hargasha alone would be enough. The Sheet of the Ramah is not abundantly clear, though. Even though in Darkei Moshe, he also seems to jump in with the Beis Yosef and say that the Truma Sedeshin is totally outvoted. In Sif Al, the Ramah writes, V'im hirgisha shen, in a case where she just had argasha, right, in that case, not a case where she just finds a thick discharge without argasha, a case where she actually had argasha. Rama writes, V'im hirgisha shen niftach makora, she feels psichas hamakor, ubatka miyad v'lo matzo klum, and she checks and she doesn't find anything, so now what does the Truma Sedeshin say in such a case? Tame, right? And Beis Yosef will say, Chumra Yaseira, ridiculous, what do you mean? You didn't find anything? Says the Rama, Ayin Simon Kuvtzadi. Look in Simon Kuvtzadi. So you gotta look, right? You look in Simon Kuvtzadi, and the Mechaber over there brings the Truma Sedeshin, and the Rama doesn't argue. So it leads you to believe the Truma Sedeshin isn't as outvoted as we think he is. So on the part where the Truma Sedeshin said that if it's a very thick Mara, even if it's a purely good color, you have to be choshesh. That, we definitely outvote the Truma Sedeshin. As far as having a hargasha without finding any dam, that we're not so clear that we're going to outvote the Truma Sedeshin. In such a case, we might be machmir. This is the case I mentioned to you a little while ago, that someone told me, that Nechama Price told me, that she met two young ladies who both said that they have hargasha, that they feel psichas hamakor every time. And if they feel psichas hamakor every time, maybe you have what to worry about even when they don't find any dam. Just by feeling the psichas hamakor, by having a hargasha, because that's that Truma Sedeshin, that maybe hargasha alone would be enough. But that's just, before we get into colors, just to raise that issue of not to be put off or surprised by the thickness of the dam. I actually brought some maros. I was, before I left, they say the minigin yeshiva is not to show maros to anyone who's not married yet. Is that a true thing? Am I allowed to violate the minigin of the yeshiva?
You do that in gross. That's the rule of gross.
That's the rule of gross. That what? They won't show a marriage? I wouldn't show a beged. I wouldn't show, like, underwear, but... a dirty little bedikah cloth? Anyone's going to have to be ruined from a dirty little... I don't expect... We were learning Kiddushin once in Rav Shechter Shir. Rav Shechter in the middle of Shir said, by Hasidim, they don't learn Kiddushin with single guys. They say it's going to cause the boys to have Yerurim. It was right, like he was in the middle saying over Reb Chaim or something. And he just stopped to say that. He said, anybody here having Yerurim? and no one raised their hand, of course. So he says, okay, so let's go right there. So I don't know if I could ask a similar question, but I don't know. I just thought like it might be instructive to just. I mean, not that I'm not going to give like a full shimush over here, but it's instructive to sometimes look at what might be a you know. I just opened up my drawer and saw what was there. So like it's. I didn't even look at them before I bought them. Some of them might even be totally clean. But if let's say you have something like this. So a cloth like this, very often, is great for the people listening online. A cloth like this, very often a woman won't even bother asking, right? It's so filthy. It's so dirty. Yeah, it's dirty, but if you look at it closely, there's no problematic matter. I mean, we'll see. Maybe there is, but a cloth like this, it's almost perfectly clean. But if one of these dots is red, then that would be a problem, right? So you can't just look at
single woman brings in all of these, or this is multiple?
No. This is accumulated over. I decided 2 weeks ago I should probably stop throwing them out because guys might need. So there's a couple of weeks of of schera, as they say. This one, yeah. So this one, I don't remember who asked this shayla. Anyone see? I mean, you can't see that well, right? This is a sure sign that a woman has OCD, right? Why? There's nothing on it. This is how it comes in the pack. It's a perfectly clean Dinka cloth, right? So this you know that a woman has OCD. So this you have to have a little conversation and you tell her, go over the rules about preparing for the mikvah because it's very likely that she spends 8 hours in the bathtub turning into a prune. So you need to, be conscious of that, and also, file that in your mind as to when she asks other shaylas of things that she thinks she might have seen, perhaps, when. So you have to realize that if you're dealing with someone who has OCD, that it's a different. It's not a different shulchan aruch, but you have to. It's like they're speaking a different language. When the woman with OCD says, "I think I saw red on the tissue or something like that," she didn't see red on the tissue. She might have seen a streak of pink, once out of the corner of her eye, or maybe not. And she's just speaking a different language. You have to know how to touch up the language that she's speaking. But that's for a different time. So let's get to the Yamaros. So as far as the thickness or how much there is, you can't be distracted by that, because that's really a distraction for a lot of people. So let's get to the actual colors. I do want to have a little bit of a shimush. Maybe I have to ask Rav Neuberger, and maybe he'll be willing to come in for a day or two to do some shimush. That's just basic. Rav Shechter holds you don't need shimush, right? You know this? Rav Shechter holds you just need not to be colorblind and to have Yerush Shemayim. And once you know all the halachos, when Shai told me when he was learning here, he asked his father for Shemush. His father said, "Did you graduate kindergarten?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "So you know all the colors?" So that's all you graduated kindergarten. Pretty much every other rabbi in the world disagrees with that. I think most assume that even when you learn the colors and you know what a color, you know what the colors are, still you need some practical experience to be able to identify how that comes out on a, how that presents itself on a bedikah cloth or on a beged. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Mishnah Daf Yates. Mishnah tells us that there are some types of blood that are tahar and some that are tameh. And it's talking about blood. It's talking about red blood, right? And the Mishnah says that there are chamishim yedamim that are tameh. There are only five shades that are tameh. And the Gemara derives this from pasuki. Probably mchadaver lemishpat beidam ledam. And we darshan. What does it mean beidam ledam? Beidam tameh ledam tahar. That sometimes you can have dam that's tameh, and sometimes you can have dam that's tahar. And the pasuk in Sefer Melachim Beis tells us of a yirumoa v'samayim adumim kidam, that the water was red like blood. So blood is red, meaning that's the definition of dam, is that which is red. And the Gemara goes on to darshan from Psukim that there are four types of red that are tameh. So Gemara says, wait a second, if there are four types of red that are tameh, how do we have five types of dam that are tameh? So Gemara says, black is tameh also. That dam shachar is tameh also, because we assume that black is really red, it's just shalaka, that somehow it got affected in some way from the environment, deoxygenated or whatever, and it became black. But if you have a real black mara, then that is tameh as well. It is rare that you will find a mara that you can say is mamish jet black, and if you learn the sugya, it seems that even though by red, lighter shades might also be a problem, when it comes to black, it seems that lighter shades are not really a problem, at least from the pashtus of the Gemara. There are achronim that disagree, but if you have something that's gray or that's not a real jet black, that's generally assumed based on the pashtus of the Gemara to be tahar. Sometimes you have something that will look like it's black, but if we were speaking before about the thickness of something, what do you call it when you go order a coffee in Dunkin' Donuts and you say, "Hold the milk, hold the sugar," right? What do you call that? A black coffee. What color is it? It depends how you look at it, right? If you spill it on your white shirt, it's brown, right? If you look at it in the cup, It's black, right? That's why they call it a black coffee, because a lot of brown on top of each other gives a black illusion, right? It looks like it's black. So sometimes you'll have a mareb that appears to be black, but it's not really black. Meaning it's just a thick brown, and Rav Neuberger says sometimes he'll take a scalpel or something and just scrape away a little bit of it to thin it out, and you'll see that on the inside it's really brown. It's just brown that's piled on top of each other. It's rare that you have a mamish, a real black mara. But if one were to have a real black mara, that would be in this category of what the Mishnah says. That's tameh. Now the Mishnah has a machlokas about dam yarok. Tanakama says it's suffek tameh. The way the Gemara ultimately explains the Mishnah is that the Tanakama holds that it's a suffek, and Akavya ben Malalo says that it's absolutely tameh, and the Chachamim are mitaher. Three shitos about dam yarok in the Mishnah. So Beis Yosef quotes that the Rosh, the Rambam, the Ran in Masechta Shavuos, the Rashba in Taras Habayis HaAruch by Zayin, and many other Rishonim, all paskin that it's tahar. That's what the Rambam also in the second parak of the Rambam in Yisur Bia, where is it? The Rambam both in Yisur Bia and in Hilchas Tumas Mishkav B'Moshav, all paskin that it's tahar, that dam yorok is tahar. So we're going to have to discuss what yorok is, but right now I'm just giving you the basics of what the Gemara says. There is a further machlokas, whether the red of Meimei Tilton, Meimei Basar Tzli, what's Meimei Basar Tzli? You barbecue some meat, and there's the meat juice, right? It's not blood, right? It can't be blood, because you do Malicha, so that extracts all the blood. So the red stuff that comes out of the meat juice, right? Halacha, that's what we call it. We call it meat juice. It's not called the blood. So let's say you have something that's that kind of color. So that's a machlokas also, whether we're tolin, meaning we assume that it's safek tamei safek tar, that's the sheet of the Tanakama, or it's absolutely tar, that's the sheet of Beis Hillel. Rishonim are split huda paskin like, but that's totally irrelevant lemaisa. That machlokas is dam yarok, that's a very relevant halacha l'maisa machlokas. And it's very important to know that all of the Rishonim paskin that dam yarok is tahar. But when you talk about the reddish tinge of meat juice, and whether that's tameh or tahar, that's machlokas tanoim, and Rishonim aren't sure of paskin, totally irrelevant halacha l'maisa. Why is that totally irrelevant halacha l'maisa? We're machmir in all reds. We lost already the Bekiyas and how to tell the difference between the shades of red. And if you don't believe that we lost the Bekiyas, you got to see the Gemara, because already in the times of the Gemara, you find several Amoraim that were saying that we're not paskening this anymore, that we don't deal with shades of red. The detail that the Gemara goes into, in terms of shades of red, you know, if it's this kind of dirt that's mixed with water, or that kind of dirt, if it's Yayin Mazuk, you know, all of these details of different shades of red, you would imagine. I never really understood what it meant that dirt is red, but then I went to Arizona once. Anyone ever been to Sedona? The whole place is red. All the mountains are red. All the dirt is red. There are parts in Eretz Yisrael like that also, that you have reddish ground. So the Gemara talks about red ground of certain places. So they're talking about very, very fine distinctions between different shades of red. We don't distinguish at all anymore between different shades of red. We lost the expertise in that. We are machmir 100%. And therefore the Rush writes in Maseches Nida, Ubedoros Halalu, nowadays there's no one that's a baki liros bedamim lishayin al chachmaso, to depend on his own chachma ula hafrid bein dam ladam, and to be able to distinguish between one dam and the other. Va'afilu b'yemei chachmei talmid hayu min hachachayim shayim nimnaim liros damim. Meaning, for a person to paskin that he could tell the difference between one type of red and another type of red, he's essentially putting himself on a level above the Amoraim. That even in the Chachmei Talmud, they already stopped doing it. Many of the Amoraim stopped paskining between one dam and the next. Kol shkein ha'idna shein letar shum dam hadoma lamaris hadmumis im lo she'e lavan v'yorok kemara hazav. The Rosh says, nowadays, if there's any reddish color to it, any reddish tint to it, it is tameh. What's tahar? Yarok, kimara hazahav, yarok that's goldish, and lavan. So what is lavan? It's Lavan normally means white. So the Beis Yosef says, that's obvious, come on, white is obviously not dam. So he says, the Beis Yosef says, Lavan means like white with a little bit of dirt on it, which you would imagine is like a grayish color. Like if you ever had like a piece of printer paper on the floor and someone stepped on it. You know, like you can tell it's not a fresh piece of paper anymore. So that's what Lavan means, says the Beis Yosef. The Shach in Sifkat and Beis says that even though Trum Sadesh might consider that to be black and therefore problematic, he says, Kol Misha Shamati Veriisi Nogu Lahati Lahedya Belishum Gimkum Klal. That, we have a dirty white is also white, and a dirty white is going to be Tahar. That is what the Shach writes. So now let's get Lameisa. Let's get into colors. So we're going to have to discuss the status of Yarok. We're going to have to discuss the status of brown. And then after we get through some of those colors, then we could talk a little bit about what happens when the color changes from when the first time you look at it to the next time you look at it. So let's start with Yarok. Tosos Taf Yutas and Beis Dibra Maskal Yarok. And Tosos in Meseches, where else? Sukkah, right? Because the color of Nesrog. Nesrog, that's Yarok Kikarti, is a problem. You're not allowed to have a green Esrog, a dark green Esrog. If it's green like a leek, if it's green like grass. So Tosus and Tafutas and Bezim Sechs Nida writes that the entire Machlokas Tanayim about Yarok was only about yellowish, goldish, where there was some Netiyala Admumis, that there's got to be some goldish color. He says if it was green, then there's no admumis and it's definitely tahar. And there was not even a machlokas tanaim. So forget about that, all the Rishonim paskin that Yarok is tahar. That's already when it's goldish that all the Rishonim are paskin that it's tahar. You don't even need Rishonim to paskin that it's tahar when it's green, because that there was never even a machlokas tanaim about. If it's mamish Yarok Ikarti, if it's mamish green, every once in a while you get like a real mucusy looking discharge that will have a greenish shade to it. I remember again Rav Shechter saying once that when Rav Soloveitchik taught that Tosos, he would say he would ask the boys, Yarok, what's Yarok? And someone who learned Ivrit growing up or something, or whatever, or just knows a little bit of Hebrew, says green. And Rav Soloveitchik would say, green blood? And Rav Shechter said it in the Russian accent for some reason. I don't know why. He imitated the Rav's accent when he said that. And then he said, Chayiv Adam Lomer B'Lashon Rabo. So you have to, whoever heard of such a thing, green blood, that there's such a thing? So it's not so crazy. I mean, it's not like, sometimes like you teach a chassan, and it's also good to know when you teach chassan. So sometimes a chassan gets like freaked out by this whole conversation. Like he starts looking at his color like she's a Martian or something, like, why is she bleeding green? And like he just gets like totally freaked out by the conversation. Sometimes the chassan just like doesn't bother him, it's just another area of halacha. But it's not so unusual that there will be some sort of discharge that is an unusual color. It's a mucusy kind of a discharge. But that's what Tosos writes, that if it's actually Yarok Kikarti, there's no discussion in Tanaim. The Meiri disagrees, but as you might have suspected, we pass my Tosos. That if it's green, that there's no issue, there's no discussion. And the whole discussion was only about a yellowish-goldish color, and a yellowish-goldish color where there's a havamina, that it's notalad mumis a little bit, that's where all the Rishonim are paskining, that it's mutter. Beis Yosef points out that when the Rush says that the only thing that's tar bizmanazeh is either lavan or yarok kimara hazahav, he means that even if the yarok is kimara hazahav, which has some admumis, it's tar. But obviously everything else that has no admumis whatsoever is also tar. So anything blue or green, right, that's obviously going to be tar. That's pointed out clearly by the Beis Yosef. However, so basically, based on what we learned right now, if I were to show you one of these maros and I were to show you that there's a goldish tinge to one of these maros, right? Then I'm sure there is somewhere in that bag a goldish tinge to something. What would you say? There's no shaila, right? According to what we've just said so far, according to Shitas HaTosfos, that the whole Machlokas Tanayim is only when it had a goldish tinge, and that's what the Rush was trying to highlight, that even with that, it's we're going to be Mekel and we're going to say Tara Legamri, it should be no shaila. However, Pischi Tshuva Sifkat and Beis quotes that the Maramins was machmir on Yarok, and therefore we can't be so quick to be makil on the Mara Hasha'ava, like a waxy type of color, or gold, unless there's some proof that it's not needles, unless you have some indication that it's not dam nida, and then distinguishes between seeing a color like this with a hargasha, where you'd be machmir, versus seeing it with the kesem, where you'd be make. And this is, we're going to see a few times, that maybe when it comes to colors, there's a difference between seeing a certain color on a bedika cloth and seeing a color on a kesem, on a baguette. And that's what Mar Mintz suggests, that maybe when it comes to a goldish color, maybe we should be more machmir when it comes to a to a hargasha or a chashash hargasha than we would when you see it on a kesem. That's what he quotes from Aramitz. Pischichuv himself then quotes a Sidre Tara, who absolutely opposes this Chumra. And the Shevet Alevi, probably in the Sefer on Anid also, but in his Chuvus, in Chela Gimel, Sim Kuf Chav Aleph, Chela Gimel, Sim Kuf Chav Aleph, he says the Mesorah is to be Metayer. There are Mesorahs to be Metayer. If it's his Mesorah, it's certainly our Mesorah. However, famous sheet of the Chachmas Adam. Chachmas Adam klal Kuf Yud Zayin Siftes. Kuf Yud Zayin Siftes. Chachmas Adam writes, nearly, afilu kemara gel kesha'ava, upshita kezohav, yesh lahachmir bebedikazu. Bedikazu, he's talking about the Hefsek Tara. He says that when it comes to a goldish kind of color, you need to be machmir on a Hefsek Tara. Diaf, agav de kaimelim besim kuf, Peches, the Yorok Tahar, even though we pask in Yorok is Tahar, Kivan the Shlot Kasav B'Shem Rashal, Shekasav Maram Mintz, B'Shem Agdolim, De'ein L'Tahar B'Mihirus, that you shouldn't be so quick to be Metahar Gold, that Pischichuv according to Maram Mintz, V'Lechein Al Kol Panim B'Bedik Azu, Shadayin, why would you be more Machmer and have Sektara? Shadayin Hi B'Cheskas Tuma, right? She's still B'Cheskas Roa. Sigesh lahachmir, then you should be more machmir. Kenyerali. That's what the Chachmas Adam says. That dafka, and there are many rabbanim that are machmir like this Chachmas Adam. That when it comes to the Hefsek Tara, there can be more machmir on gold and even on browns also, which we'll get to later. But there can be much more machmir in Hefsek Tara than they will be on any of the other bedikos. So many rabbanim are machmir for that Chachmas Adam. Not so much in our yeshiva. The post-Kamin Ari Yeshiva generally are not. Rabbi Willig, Rabbi Shachter, Rabbi Neuberger, I believe, are not. But this is the sheet of the Chachmas Adam that some people are machmir for. It is interesting that Hefsek Tara is another consideration that's worth thinking about. And that is that Hefsek Tara, not only is she becheskas iser, but the way many women get their periods is that it changes. The color changes. It starts off brownish or some other color, becomes really red, and then ends off a more brownish color. So obviously that's a continuation of her period. Meaning, so it could very well be that by a Hefsek Tara, if she's seeing some other color, some goldish color, some brownish color, that it's mistaver, that's an extension of her period. So that's the Chumrah of the Chachmas Adam. Chachmas Adam says, if the Maran Mintz is telling me I shouldn't rush to be Mekil, now the application of the Maran Mintz was when she has a Hargasha, right? Anytime she has a Hargasha, you shouldn't be Mekil. But the Chachmas Adam applies it himself to say, so I'm not going to be Mekil on Hefsek Tara. If it's out of nowhere, she has a stain and it's gold, even the Chachmas Adam is going to be Mekil. During Shiva Nekiyim, he's not sure. Chachmas Adam himself is not sure. But he's machmir, he's absolutely machmir when it comes to the Hefsek Tara. Rav Moshe in the Tshuva, in the Gus Moshe Yordei Chelik Dalet Simen Yud Zayin, Chelik Dalet Simen Yud Zayin, Umar Agal Keshava Ukezahav, Shachachmas Adam Mekab Lachal Yiral Simen Yiralf, Av Mikalmako Machmir Benimtsa Kezeh Behefsek Tara, Bechal Kuf Yud Zayin Simen Tez. He says when it comes to a gold color, the Chachmas Adam is generally Mekil, but he's machmir on a Hefsek Tara. Sounds from the Chachmas Adam only for the Hefsek Tara is machmir, not for the subsequent bedikos. I think dikim dash lo b'shem arshal hichmir b'gal kleshava v'kol shkein kizahav b'shem araminz b'shem agdolim. Since you have this marshal and the shlo kadosh and the araminz and these gedolim, whoever they were, that are machmir, because of lachmir can yish sadim achirim usfaros machichos she'eino nidos. And Pesachei Tshuva quotes that you should be machmir unless there's some other indication that they're not a nida. L'chein, af shekivin sha'taz v'ashach lo yivyuzeh, even though the shach and taz don't bring any such chumran, they just go with yorok is fine, is fine, is fine, it's no problem, like Tosa said, it's totally fine. Nevertheless, says Rav Moshe, and even the Sidri Tara who quotes it then only quotes it to argue on it. So it sounds like the Sidri Tara, the Shach, and the Taz, they're all Megil. A Bal Nefesh should be Machmir. So I think we have more reason to be Machmir. First 3 days of Shivanikim, he says, you should be Machmir. From the Hefsek Tara, the next 3 days, you should be Machmir. There are Rabbanim that paskin like this as well. Many people I've spoken to Talmidim or Moshe, and they paskin this Keseder. So if you want, people think, like, what difference does it make who I ask my shailas to? There are people that have very, very different masoras, just like on how to paskin, like, well, what we say in these cases. So you have like a goldish, yellowish goldish kind of mara. So you go to a Talmud of Moshe the first 3 days, he's going to be machmir. You go to someone who passes like the Chacham Sadim, Hefsek Tara, they're going to be machmir, they might be makel in the first 3 days. You go to someone who passes like the Shachem, the Taz, and the Sugya Tara, and the Tosos, and what sounds like the Bashlos of the Sugya, and they'll be makel all the way through. Most of the poskim in our yeshiva, I think Rabbi Bleich maybe is a little different, maybe he's more machmir. Most of the poskim in our yeshiva are makel, even when it comes to a Hefsek Tara. So that's how Rav Moshe writes. Rav Moshe thinks for the first 3 days, we have to be a little more macro. Okay, that's as far as like a goldish kind of a color. As far as brown is concerned, so Pesachei Tshuva at the end of Sif Katan Aleph quotes Matsasi Kosov. No, he doesn't quote Sidri. He quotes a Sidri Tara, who quotes B'Shem a Matsasi Kosov. That you see, brown is interesting because the Gemara never talks about it, and it doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. Because Gemara never talked about it, the Rishonim don't talk about it. So, and what's the most common color to come out on a Bedikah cloth? Brown, of course, right? So, and it's not spoken about in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, the Gemara, or the Rishonim. So, what on earth do you do with a brown mara? So, there are a couple of ways to look at brown, right? Meaning, in logically, one way to look at brown would be that brown is part of the black family, right? That black is tamei and brown is like a lighter shade of black. The other way to look at brown is that brown is from the red family, right? That brown is most similar to red. If it's part of the black family, right? So the Gemara says that black, that's a lighter shade of black, is tahar, right? If it's part of the red family, so what did the Gemara tell us? Yarok is tahar. Red is tamei. Brown is not yarok, right? It's not gold, but it's also not red. You could understand why some might want to be more machner in brown then, if it's part of the red family, if you view it as like a, connected to red. Because it's not yarok. It's definitely more than yarok. So there are different ways that one might look at brown. So anyway, he quotes, Sidri Tara quotes a Matsasi Kasu. Dama nota litzeva broin. Shuhu ke'en klipas armonim. What are armonim? Chestnuts, I think. Chestnuts, like a chestnut shell. What does a chestnut look like? Brown? Yeah. Okay. Ukumo mashka, this one I know better. Ukumo mashka ha coffee. Like the drink that you may have heard of. Coffee. It's interesting. It says mashka ha coffee, not the bean. Which is interesting. I would have said, Rabbi Willig tells the Maisa that he... when he started his Rabbanus, I think he was 22 years old when he got the Shteller in Riverdale, who did he beat out for the Shteller? Of Nissen Albert, I think. Right? Isn't that the Maisa? Rav Nissen Halpern had like 10 kids or something, 8 kids or something like that, and Rav Willick had, was just married and didn't have anybody yet. So they said, we can't afford to, the shul, we can't afford to support such a large family, so they hired the younger rabbi with fewer kids. No? Anyone ever hear this story? I might be getting it all wrong. But if I'm not mistaken, that was the that was nice. And then Rav Nissen Halpern ended up in Far Rockaway, in the Aguda in Far Rockaway. So, so when he was 22 years old, he had never gotten shimush, so he didn't know how to pass in the shadow. So he went to, I think maybe Rabbi Breuer or someone like in the Yakisha community to give him shimush, and he would show him different colors of things. So he took an old coffee can, you know, that has coffee grounds in it. Okay, this is broin, right? This is a, but it's not a Sidri Tara. Sidri Tara says, no, take a brewed coffee already, you know, the drink, a mashke coffee. So, okay, so if you have brown, so he says, matzasi kasem shu tahar. Ve'in tzor chomer bekesem, and of course, if it's just a kesem, because it's not notalad mumis, it's brown. It doesn't look reddish at all. And then this, the Pesukei Teshuva says, I later found that this was in the Sheilas Yavetz in Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Chelek Aleph Sim Mem Dalet. If you look in Chachmas Petzalel, I think I may have mentioned this to you earlier in the year, Chachmas Petzalel and Daf Yutesim Beis, Chachmas Petzalel, this is Rabbi Petzalel Ranshbuk's Perish on Maseches Nida. So he has a fascinating comment. He says, I know why the Sidrei Tara only quoted it as Matzasei Kasuv. Sidrei Tara was a genius. He remembered exactly where he saw it. Why didn't he want to quote that he saw it by Rabbi Yaakov Emden? Because of the Machlokas. Because the Emden Neipschitz controversy, out of covet for Rabbi Neipschitz, he didn't want to quote Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He thought it was inappropriate to quote Rabbi Yaakov Emden. When Rav Shapta would describe to us the Emden Neipschitz controversy, in Rav Shapta's mind, it's not a controversy at all. So Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz was a gadol ador, he was a go'un shebega'onim. Rabbi Yaakov Emden had a printing press and knew how to learn a little bit also, but Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz was a go'in ha'go'inim. Like he said, the way Rav Shapta said it, this is not me saying, I could never judge, like these, to me, they both seem like really big. But he said that that Rabbi Yaakov Emden, calling Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz a Shabtai Tzvi follower, would be like a kindergarten teacher saying Rabbi Moshe Feinstein is a Shabtai Tzvi follower. He thought that they were on such different levels that it's not even shayich to have the conversation. Historians aren't as convinced, let's put it that way. But the Matzasi Kasuv, because out of the covet of the Sidrei Tahara, for Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, he didn't want to quote from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden is the source, says the Chachmas Petzalel. That's when I told that to Rabbi J.J. Schacht 3 years ago. He said, you got to give me a copy of that. Give me a copy of the cover page. And I sent him the thing. So he added, because Rabbi J.J. Schacht, I don't know if anyone close to Rabbi J.J. Schacht? He has almost like an identity crisis. Like he's so obsessed with Rabbi Yaakov Emden that like his wife at a certain point made him like, you know, take a step back from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He told me, he said that you know, he's also Yaakov Ben Svi, you know, like that. If you ever look in his house, he has the Rabbi Yaakov Emden Svarim. It's like every line of every sefer is underlined. He actually did a very nice job. He put together the Machon Yerushalayim Maruk Tzia from Yaakov Emden. It's a very beautiful sefer. So Yaakov Emden is the Mar Makom. Now, Aruch HaShulchan writes, when it comes to brown, he says, Aval anota l'tseva broin, de'in ze miminam klal, v'rak anota ma'at l'shachrus, pshita she'i. So what does Aruch HaShulchan assume? Anota ma'at l'shachrus, meaning it's not from the red family, it's from the black family. Pshita she'lon l'hachmir b'chinam. Of course you have to be machmir, right? V'kavonas ha'matzah kosov kenhu, u'kvar sheninu diya mikantor. And that's what the matzah kosov held. Matzah kosov, code word, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. That he held it's part of the black family, and the Gemara says explicitly that a lighter black is tahar. Kolomar derak diya mechares tahar midina afilu kazayis u kazefes u ka'orev u nihid b'zei yesh lachmir achshav mikol makom b'tseva broin. Listen to the words of the Aruch HaShulchan. Chalila lahachmir. Wow. Chalila lahachmir, the Aruch HaShulchan says in breath. Beis Meir is medayek from a shach and also from a ravid that brown is a problem. Chachmas Adam Kufir Aleph also seems to assume brown is a problem. So here you have the Aruch HaShulchan saying Chalila L'Achmir. It's not discussed in the Gemara. Matzasi Kasu of Rabbi Yaakov Endin and the Sidri Tara quotes it and Pesachei Teshuva quotes it, says that it's Tahar. But on the other hand, you have the Chachmas Adam and the Beis Meir that think that it's a problem. Rav Moshe, Igros Moshe Yodei Chalik Beisim and Ayin Ches, Bidvari Isha Sha'achri Gimel Yom Shalanakiyim, a woman that after the 3 days of Shivanakiyim, first 3 days of Shivanakiyim, Hiroa Kesim Shal Dam, Imu Bargashiv Umar Dam Ari Vade Soseris. Obviously, if it's red, it's a problem. Tzri Chalaskim Nesmichal Shivayam. So, Ramesha, obviously, someone asked Ramesha a Shaila that wasn't really a Shaila, right? I mean, someone said, a woman saw Dam during Shivanakiyim. What should she do now? Which, by the way, rabbis get those Shailas all the time also. You teach a chassan and he's married for 6 months or whatever. They're not so used to the whole system. So wait, do we start? It was day 4 and she saw red. So do we start the 5 and the 7 again? Do we just start the 7? Like, people aren't familiar with even like the basics because they forget. So they need a reminder sometimes. So Rav Moshe was no different. He was also a rabbi. So someone said, I saw Dan during Shiva Nikim. Shkoyach. Okay, you saw Dan during Shiva Nikim. Of course, you start the Shiva Nikim again. But Ramesh is going to make a tshuva out of it. Vim yesh safek pa'amara af shekayil mi'il rasa b'tokim liyom rishonim. If there's a safek in the mara, once you're after the first 3 days, we could be a little more makil. Since we don't know the difference between reds, if it has a reddish tinge, even after the first 3 days, it's a problem. Says you have to show it to a chacham who's used to this, who knows how to pass him. It's so interesting the way Ramosh writes. Lufi abekiyus shel chachmei doreinu, meaning no one's a baki b'zman hazeh. The Amoraim weren't bekiyim anymore, but whatever level of bekiyus we still have, you got to show it to someone like that. Sheyomer im yishlach lufi ma shemachmiri. Shemains and notalad mimus shel dam el keshav avizav o shehu rak broin. Lo yistar, then it's not going to be a problem. But im rasa b'toch gimul yam shel psikas adam yesh lahachmir gam b'mara galu broin. Says Rav Moshe, first 3 days are machmir and browns also. Wow, that's a big chumba, right? And there are poskim that are machmir like this, that browns in the first 3 days in Eretz Yisrael in particular. There are a lot of poskim that are machmir on browns, certainly for hafsek taras, and. Meaning that there are women that will be living in the United States, and then they'll go to Eretz Yisrael, you know, learn in the mirror or whatever for a couple of years, and they never had a shaila that was a problem in the United States, and they never had a shaila that was tahar in Eretz Yisrael. What, the woman's biology changed on the plane? No, the poskim had different menhagim in terms of how to deal with brown, that had a paskin, these shailas. That's why sometimes people ask, you know, are you allowed to ask different shaylos to different rabbis, or do you have to like pick one rabbi they ask all your shaylos to? So the answer is, there's no halacha that you have to pick one rabbi they ask all of your shaylos to, or that it's cheating to ask different rabbis. There's no such halacha. But you don't want to have stiras in your psak, meaning at least pick people who come from the same basic masorah. Because anytime it looks a little red, I'll go to the Chassidish Pesach, because Chassidim never saw anything that looks red. Everything looks brown to them, right? That's, they have a different kind of Masorah. And, or if the guy is looking for Chumrah, so now that I decide I want to become more religious, so now I'll go to the Talmid Ramesha for the first 3 days on bread. You should have people who have the similar Masorah, so at least you're dealing with the same, within the same system. First 3 days of the Hafsek Tahara, yeah. First 3 days of Shiva Nikim, which means 8 days after she started, after she started bleeding, after she got her period. Rav Vosner and Shevet Alevi Chel Gimel Sum Kuf Chav Aleph. Uli'inyin Mara Broin. Kvar Yadua Mash Kasukan Besir Tahara Lahakel V'chein Kasuv Yayvitz. Pesach Tshuva. Sefer Orach HaShulchan Kan Kasuv Lashon Tichalila Lahachmir B'Mara Broin. Says Rav Vosner, V'hifriz B'Lashono. Calm down, Aruch HaShulchan. I think he's going a little too far. Chalila, he says, Dinihida Shalahak Litzorech. You could be Makel, I get it. Kivin Dika Gdolim V'Tovim HaMekilim. There are great, great poskim that are Makel. Sidri Tara, the Rabbi Yaakov Endin, Pesach Teshuva. Mikolok, B'yom HaRishonim Shal HaNekiyim, Chin B'yom Shasamach Leveses Mamish, Tzorech Lizar Tuva, Imlo B'Nashim Shekoshalim L'Tar B'Lavachi. A little bit different, right? Says Rav Vosner, I think like Ramesha, But you have to keep in mind the woman's situation. Meaning, I think like Rav Moshe is a worthy chumrah, and it's something we should all try to do, but keep in mind if she's having trouble becoming tahora, if there's some sort of shalom bayis issue, other kinds of things that you have to be careful about. Alkein b'mara b'rayna kolufi ra'os enei hamora. He says a rabbi has to know the situation in order to paskin. Now all of this is, so we discussed today so far, yellow, gold-ish, and brown, right? And those are very, very common colors. The most common color, probably even more than brown, at least at first, before, if a woman is describing, let's put it this way, if a woman's describing what she saw in a tissue, let's say, so the most common color that she'll describe is pink. It's not brown, and it's not yellow. Most commonly she'll describe seeing pink on a tissue. So what's pink? What does it say, misvara? Pink seems like it belongs to the reddish family, and any tinge of red should be a problem, right? The problem, the issue is that most of the time, if you're shown a mara that's pink, and you wait till the next day, at least half of the time, probably more, it's beige by the time the next day comes around. It dries beige. It looks pink at first, but then it dries beige. So that's a fascinating shayla. Because on the one hand, you say, well, when it's wet, hakol v'rosei ne'amora, and that's really our next topic, is what happens when the mara changes, right? But on the one hand, you want to say, it's got to be tummy if you saw while it was pink. But that's crazy, meaning that means that you're going to show it to a chacham while it's still wet. So if a woman does a bedika, and it's, you know, she doesn't get a chance to, she gets to bring it to the rabbi right away, he's going to paskin tummy. That same bedika cloth, she doesn't get a chance to bring it to the rabbi that night, she's going to bring it the next morning, and all of a sudden it's going to be tar. Same bedika cloth. And the rabbi looking at it will know. He'll be looking at this pink mara and he'll know, this is going to be beige tomorrow. He'll know that that's the case. So with pink, Rav Vazna writes, and Rabbi Sablovsky quotes this in his Sefer, if it's a pink that turns to beige, then it's a simen that was never dam to begin with. And we could be makel on a pink that turns to beige. Rabbi might want to hang on to it to be sure that it turns to beige and not paskin right away. In general, Rabbanim very often, and we'll see the Ramah, recommends this, won't want to paskin at night, because the Rambam recommends paskin only by sunlight. The Gemara has a whole how-to when you paskin, you have to shade it with your hand and look at the mara this way. So many of the Rishonim understand that whole how-to look at a mara that the Gemara gives, because it's not according to Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch doesn't give any how-to look at a mara. That you look at Beit Chamel itself and you look at it. So why isn't that in Shulchan Aruch? So they assume because it's that was in the times of the Gemara when they were being mavchin bein red le red, right? Different shades of red. Nowadays it's just telling whether it's red or not. So maybe all those halachos don't apply. Although the Ramah seems to be machmir at least on some of those halachos. And we'll get to that. B'li neder, we'll try to get to that about how to look at a mara. But I've asked Rabbi Willig Shailas in Maris where he said, dark out, it's nighttime, we can't look now. And the first time I was confused because I brought him so many maras where like it was dark and he had no problem looking. But based on the mara, based on whether he thought it was a real shayla or not, sometimes he would want to wait till he had natural light.
Just for clarification on the brown question, how should
In our yeshiva I think we're making on browns even for Havsik Tarim.
That's what
Rebbe
does when we.
That's what I do.
And that's what we
would
recommend that we do when we
become. I think so. Look, I'll take a good brown. Right? Can you see from there? Right. This is pretty brown, right? It's like a. There's no adminus over here at all. From what I could see, I'm not looking in the sunlight. There's a little bit of a goldish tinge. Here, you can take a look. There's a little bit of a. Wash your hands. What?
I think I'm
colorblind to do this. Oh, if you're colorblind, it would be the
shouldn't do this. colorblind people.
I like very mildly colorblind.
I should mention that.
There are rabbanim who are colorblind, so sometimes a rabbi who's colorblind will know enough to be able to know when it's a shayla. Because a lot of the things you get just aren't even a shayla. So even someone who's mildly colorblind can at least know enough when it's a shayla, but you can't really. Can't be a paisik, on Maros if you can't see colors. This is almost like a grayish brown, right? But also, it's got, when you look in the sunlight, sometimes you can see a goldish tint, and you see what they're talking about when they say gold. This one not so much. All right, we'll have to go through this a little more carefully one day. But I'll leave them in my bag, and maybe we'll get some more also, so we'll be able to demonstrate what these colors are. But, yeah.
Is there, any knowledge scientifically about what color the bread should turn if you have it on the feet up?
So there are those who suggested that there's a very simple chemical test you could do to see if something is dam or not, but we don't do that. We go with our Minnesota. That's the way we paskin. There was this app that someone tried to make, right? That you would take a picture of the Mara and then send it. People often ask, can I just take a picture of the Mara and send it to you? The answer is always no, because the color is always, always ruined by the picture. And when you're looking for slight nuances of color, you really can't tell from a picture. We just had a bookcase delivered this morning, and my wife was at work, so I took a picture of it and sent it to her. And she said, it's the wrong color. I'm like, no, this is like the gold dress, black dress, whatever. This is like, in the picture, it looks the wrong color. It's the right color. I'm sure it's the right color. That's just the way these things work. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow, I don't want anyone to be late to Mincha. So tomorrow we'll pick up with what happens when the color changes over time.
Schefter also, the Rav Sadlovsky book, the voice of Schefter in the back is saying, wouldn't look at any Maros at night time. I think so. He thinks the